Hello, this is Bit Depth number 1491, which appeared in Trinidad and Tobago Newsday on December 30th, 2024, under the headline, "The Most Useful Tech I Own, 2024. There are two kinds of new car buyers, those who want to feel a communion with their new vehicle, ensuring that its style and backstory align with their own aspirations, and those who read and compare specifications, comparing them with elaborate spreadsheets. When it comes to technology, I'm a little bit of both. I won't normally consider an item that is genuinely and unforgivably ugly, but the specifications and features of a purchase weigh heavily in my decisions. As we come to the end of the new year, these are the devices that turned out to be truly good ideas and ended up both earning their keep and appear set to keep on doing so. Speakers. The oldest bit of technology in my workspace is a 40-year-old pair of Aurex speakers. This kind of speaker generally isn't made anymore. Heavy, solid, and blessed with a flat response that I can shape with software equalization to taste. They also aren't the kind of speakers you can just plug into a computer. In a lockdown project, I brought them back into service with a small amplifier, yards of carefully routed speaker wire, and a bit of carefully applied spray paint. The other speaker system is a 5.1 Logitech X540. That's 5 speakers and 1 subwoofer. That's been in continuous use for almost 20 years. My computer doesn't offer a native 5.1 audio signal, so over the years I've used external decoder units to get the surround sound it's capable of. This is another kind of speaker system that isn't offered widely in the market. The 5.1 and 7.1 systems available today are either sketchy, don't have wall-mountable satellite speakers, or are intimidatingly expensive. The contenders for a replacement would be among speaker systems from Edifer, Canto, and Audio Engine that pair excellent bookshelf-style speakers with an optional subwoofer to fatten their sound response. Input devices. Keyboards are a huge part of my computing life. I've rejected laptops because I didn't like their keyboard feel and suffered through owning others because the keyboard just never felt right. Most of my writing now gets done on an external keyboard attached to a laptop. I learned to type on an old mechanical typewriter, and then at speed on an IBM Selectric. So in a fit of sentiment, I initially chose a Keychron K2, a 75% mechanical keyboard with the chunky keys I remembered from the Selectric. I've since switched to a low-profile Keychron K13 Pro, a 10 keyless keyboard with a number pad that supports online key mapping. The keyboard action is similar to the K2, but the half-height keys create a more even line between my forearm and my knuckles, important for reducing wrist stress. Here's an interesting sidebar on the K13. It features backlighting, but for no reason that I can understand, the keys are not translucent. There's no option for a model of the keyboard with translucent keys on Amazon, nor is there a compatible translucent keycap set. For that, you have to order direct from Keychron in Hong Kong. It takes a while to get here, but on the positive side, since you can change the default key mapping, a full set of keycaps means that you can customize the keyboard to your taste. After flirting with cheap copies of premium mice, I've invested closer to the top of the line with a Logitech MX3S and the Razer Basilix X. The mice and keyboard serve two different computers and sit close to each other, so they need to be different in both look and touch. Both mice sport high optical sensor tracking rates, programmable buttons, and have long battery life. I do not cuss my cursor controllers anymore. Printer. It would be great if we could finally do away with printers, but decades after the promised paperless office, they're still needed. I'm well into my fourth year of using the Canon G7020 printer, and that's better than most printers have managed in my experience. The G7020 is an ink tank printer, which doesn't use replaceable cartridges. It's refilled by bottles of ink that flow into sizable ink wells. It hasn't been perfect. The printer should stay on continuously, and it really needs to print at least one page a week, the built-in test page will do, to keep the nozzles clear. It's sometimes necessary to do a deep clean when they get clogged, and while the process gulps ink to do so, it isn't the financial punishment it can be with cartridge-based printers. The ink refilled bottles are also cheap, and the scanner is adequate, but neither scans nor prints are premium photo quality. The rare feed tray is also unnecessarily fussy to set up. As with every all-in-one printer, each feature is acceptable while determinedly avoiding being best in class. Like many all-in-one printers, you can make copies and send a fax. To who exactly, I have no idea. It's been slow going for this cost-effective concept in the printer market. You pay more for the printer up front, but save over time with dramatically lower ink costs. But the business model is slowly catching on, and even curmudgeonly HP is now offering an intact printer in its lineup. A hub. If you have a laptop, then every time you return to home base, you have to connect a cable. Chances are, you have to connect many cables. I've got a truly insane number of cables to connect. For most folks, a quality USB 3 hub will do the trick. I use a Thunderbolt hub, which connects to a single port and breaks out to a 2.5 gigabit Ethernet, a DisplayPort cable connected to an external monitor, external speakers, technically the preamp for the external speakers, a microphone, a webcam, the RF transmitter for the mouse, and the cable for the keyboard. The hub also provides power to the laptop, so one cable connects me to a rat's nest worth of cabling.
The print version of this column was trimmed to meet column lengths for the newspaper. This reading by the author is the complete version of the column. The song Wonderland, composed and performed by Peter Shim, is used with his kind permission. This column and other technology reporting archives are also to be found at technewstt.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.